As you see behind me, it says new series. I'm excited about this new series that we're going to be getting into together. You know, every series is, to me, very special. It's part of God's Word. There is a reason we're coming to this new series, coming out of Galatians, coming out of Hosea, coming out of Acts, coming out of The Blessed Life. And I'm excited for that. This is going to be a challenging series to prepare for you, but I'm excited for it. You know, the apostles, they watched in astonishment as Jesus ascended into heaven and disappeared from their sight. The Jesus they had loved, the Jesus they had followed, the Jesus they had given their lives to, was gone. Imagine them in that moment. Imagine you've walked and talked and slept and ate and laughed and cried with Jesus for the last 3 years. You've seen him go to the cross. You've seen him now raised. And now he's gone. And you're left there with your brothers. Imagine that. Imagine how or what they were feeling. But then came this wonderful hope, this wonderful hope-filled news from these heavenly messengers. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Wow. Let's be clear in this series right up front, as the lyrics of our theme song that I'm going to play from you from time to time in this series states, the world has kind of lost its way. That's an understatement. The world has kind of lost its way. Crazy as it seems, I know it's going to be okay. It doesn't scare me. It's temporary, and it won't be long because I know help is on the way. So keep your head up. Don't give up. And when the world gets complicated, keep on celebrating. The trumpet's going to blow. The skies are going to open wide. He's coming for us, just as he told us. And we're going to sing hallelujah when the king arrives, because Jesus is coming back. Amen. Amen. So let's just clear that up right before we go. You're not going to get some bombshell drop that somebody's going to tell you Jesus isn't coming. He's coming. This morning, we are going to begin a series that we are calling When Jesus. That was one of the two questions that was put to Jesus by his disciples in Matthew chapter 24. Verse 3, tell us, they said, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? There are two certainties in that question that ought to have a tremendous impact upon our life today. Namely, Jesus is coming again, and this age is going to end. Well, Jesus responded to them in the moment. He spoke to them, and though he said much about the near and we're going to see the distant future, they understood little in the moment. Our Lord's response to those questions is called the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24 and 25, in which Jesus tells us about his coming and tells us about the end of the age. And most importantly, how should we respond to what he is telling us? We did a series, if you remember, called the Blessed Life Series. And that was based on our Lord's Sermon on the Mount back in Matthew 5 through chapter 7. This series here, we will now cover the Lord's message called the Olivet Discourse. Both messages, the Sermon on the Mount and the Olivet Discourse, take place on the Mount of Olives. So in this series, we will look at the importance of Israel and what is going on in the Middle East. We will look at the coming of the most evil and worst man to ever live in the history of mankind, as well as the most horrific time of tribulation that is coming to this world, and why is it coming? We will also look at whether or not the stage is now set as never before in history that would indicate that the Lord's coming is very soon. We're going to look at that. We will look at the subject of the rapture. What is the rapture? What is it? Is it even biblical? If it is biblical, when will it occur? We will look at the glorious kingdom to come one day. So when we're within this series, it's going to be a little different than other series. In this series, we're going to stop right here in the Olivet Discourse, but we're also going to segue in and out of it as we go. So just be warned of that already. We're going to segue in and out of it as we will spend time in different books, such as Daniel and the book Revelation and other books. Yet we will cover the two chapters in whole. We will pause at different places in the Olivet Discourse, and we will have insert messages, okay? Insert messages with other areas of Scripture based on timelines. You are not going to see the rapture in the Olivet Discourse. So when we get to where we believe this is where the rapture would occur, we will go and we will show you that in other parts of Scripture. So we're going to have inserts along the way. And then we'll return back to Matthew 24 through 25. So are you excited about that? I am as well. Now these things for us concerning the future, they're truly very, very important. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? Because I believe what we know and believe and are certain about concerning these very things has tremendous implications for our daily walk in Christ, our witness in a lost and dark world, and our optimistic hope, wonderful, wonderful, certain hope for the future, the blessed hope. Amen? So remember this. Remember back when we started Galatians, before we got deep into the spirit walk in Galatians, we had to take our time to do a few things. We had to take our time to know the gospel, defend the gospel, proclaim the gospel, and live the gospel, as it was crucial to the success of the spirit-filled walk, right? Well, the very same thing is going to take place in this series in essence. See, my desire, by God's grace, is that when this series is finished, you will not only know what you believe, but why you believe. Not according to Pastor Aaron, but according to the very Word of God, so that you can confidently face the future and give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Amen. Also, I want you to think about this series. I want to. I thank Janelle for giving me the base theme. I give her, and she gives me the base thing. Then I take it, and I don't know whether she'd think this or not. And then I'll screw it up all around. And then I insert pictures in this. But I give her a concept. She gives me. But I want to thank her for this. And as she was designing just the imagery, the black and white. It's going to be a black and white screen series meant to show the starkness of evil versus good, the starkness of black and white about the reality that is to come. When you see orange at times, it's an indicator of warning. When you see green, it's an indicator of, okay, let's go, let's get up, let's get ready, let's put a smile on our face. That means I really want to see a smile on your face. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Janelle. I appreciate you so much. I thought before we get into this series, though, it would be best to place his coming into a big picture. A big picture approach is what we're going to take today with the details yet to come, which is the title of our message today concerning the future of the world. Let's get the big picture of the future of the world. Where, my friends, is the world heading with its 8 billion some people today? Will we destroy ourselves through nuclear war? Will we pollute ourselves to death? Will holes in the ozone layer actually be the thing that kills us with radiation? I mean, will global warming cause so much disastrous floods and climate change, floods that will drown us, climate change that will kill us? Will we be invaded by little green Martians? Or perhaps on the positive side, will science and technology overcome the very things that kill us, the very diseases that invade us? Will humanitarian efforts finally usher in a world of peace? What is going to happen? Well, of course, there have been and are still today any number of prognosticators and false modern-day prophets. Hear me, false modern-day prophets. There are no such thing as prophets today speaking for God. We have the totality of His Word. We do not need a prophet to add to Scripture. Go back and listen to the Acts series. But we have all kinds of modern-day prophets today prognosticating with a myriad of theories and ungodly visions concerning the future. What is it? Who can we believe? What is it we need to know? How confusing can this be? Is God's Word, does it bring clarity on these issues? You know, I prefer over myriads of theories and prognostications, I just prefer revelation from God as opposed to the speculation of man. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. You see, notice, I am God. This is God speaking. This is God's Word. What does He have to say? You see, He is the one who's going to accomplish. He is the one who is going to establish His purpose and His good pleasure, at His good pleasure. And in the end, guess what? It is just all going to go the way He wants it to go. We don't have to worry about it. It's going to go His way, just the way He purposed it and planned it. You see, how do I know that? Because He is God and tells us so. And there is no other God. Him and Him alone. So this morning, my friends, let's look in very broad terms at what God has already told us about the future of the world. And then, as we move through this series, we are going to land in the details. All right? Before we start to dive into this series and in the upcoming months, I hate to break it to you. At His appointed time, when time runs out, God is going to destroy this world as we know it. Just the earth? Is he just going to destroy our planet? Is he just going to destroy and quickly make a new world? You see, there is coming a day when everything that comprises the universe in which we dwell, the sun, the moon, the stars, outer space, everything that comprises this globe upon which we live, and everything that has been built upon it, everything will be thrown, as it were, into God's great oven. It will be burned up. It will melt away. It will be utterly destroyed and done away with. Anything and everything that you know of is gone. Seriously, Pastor? Everything? Every galaxy? Every star? The whole earth? I mean, 100% of all creation destroyed? But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. The heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. 2 Peter 3. Yes, it will. The word elements here, everyone, refers to the basic components or parts of something. The word came to mean heavenly bodies like the sun, moon, stars, and galaxies, or anything that was a component part of the universe itself. We are being told here that all the elements of our material universe, for what we now know as subatomic particles, every last thing, to the vast interstellar emptiness of space, will be destroyed in an intense heat. It will all be burned up. We're going to see as we get to Revelation that Jesus himself, the Lamb, is actually, we're going to see the wording, coming back to exterminate. Did you know something? That the surface of our sun is 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Wow. Is that hot? I mean, I'm trying to do this sauna thing. I get over 180, 200 degrees. I'm about to melt away and die right there if 20 minutes goes on. But 11,000 degrees? That's just the surface. Did you know the interior of the sun burns at 18 million degrees Fahrenheit? And it can't even burn up the universe. How hot is that? I'd say that's hot, right? Did you know if the sun's full heat were turned upon a block of ice that was sitting on the earth, 1.5 miles square, and 93 million miles high. That means from earth to the sun, 93 million miles high, 1.5 miles square. If the full sun's power was turned upon it, it would melt in 30 seconds. It would melt in 30 seconds. Whew. But even that heat of the sun pales in comparison to an object in outer space that astronomers have recently located at these coordinates, in case you need to go there, FSC 10214 plus 4724, just in case you need to tap that into your GPS. It's burning with the brilliance and heat of 100 trillion suns. 100 trillion times 18 million degrees Fahrenheit. You do the math. Yet it can't even burn up the whole universe. God alone, everyone, think of this. By spoken word, who created all of that, every element, And all of this is going to pass away with an intense heat applied by God. You see, only God can do this. And he's going to do it how? Like that. Oh, let me tell you. I'm here to tell you. Listen up. Something more than 1 to 2 degrees or 3 of global warming is coming. That trend is not going to destroy the world as we know it. I just, that blows my mind when we see God's awesomeness in creation. And all its works, all the magnificent wonders of the world, all the monuments to man's genius and man's technology will instantaneously be burned up. So let's be clear about this. Is there some clarity needed? We're not talking about man destroying what he thinks is his world through some nuclear holocaust or global warming. We're actually talking about God destroying his world. This is the Lord's world. No power, no device of man, no matter how horrendous, is able to destroy the cosmos down to its very elements, as God will do one day. And if he's going to do that as we get into this series, why? Why would he do such a thing? You see, how many of you ever were told by your mom, I brought you into this world and I'll bring you out of it? Well, God brought the world into existence out of nothing, and he will send it back into nothing with the same ease in that he created it. Wow. So, when is this going to happen? Okay, you ready? I'm going to give it to you. When? Get your pens out. I have no idea. I can tell you, though, something for sure, though. It will not happen for a minimum of 1,007 years. I can tell you at a minimum, I can't tell you when. It will not happen for at least 1,007 years from now. How can we be certain of this? Well, we can be certain of that when we look at the rest of God's plan for the future. So we see the final destruction of the world. When that comes, before that comes, there will come a 1,000-year celebration in the world. Revelation 24, 20 verse 4 says, they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, 1,000 years is stated in each verse. Scholars call this what? The millennium. Millennium, Latin for 1,000. So during these 1,000 years, this world is going to be a happy place. It will be a time of paradise-like conditions. 1,000 years in which Jesus himself, King Jesus Christ, having returned to this earth, will be ruling. He will be reigning over a miraculously transformed world that will still be destroyed. A world in which wars have now ceased. There will be no more ghettos, slums, this side, that side of the tracks. No more reign of tooth and claw. As the lamb, we're told, will lie with the bear and the young calf with the lion. 1,000 years of unprecedented prosperity and peace. 1,000 years in which even the atmosphere has so changed that there will be no more freezing cold, there will be no more raging floods, tornadoes, or hurricanes to take away lives. And here's the amazing, amazing thing about that time span. Satan himself will be bound up. He will be imprisoned for those 1,000 years during that millennium. that liar, Satan, that deceiver, that murderer from the beginning, the Bible says, who has caused so much havoc, tragedy, who's caused so much sorrow in this world, will not be free to deceive anymore, lie, or tempt mankind during those 1,000 years. Wow. Why 1,000 years? Why not just move straight into eternal heaven? Why 1,000 years and then burn up the world? Well, we're going to look at that in detail later in the series. You just need to know it's coming. Along with who is there? And how do we fit in there in the millennium? We're going to see all of that to come. We're seeing the big picture, the destruction of the world, and before the 1,000-year celebration in the world, there is another event in the plan of God that will happen before both of those, which is the 7-year tribulation period upon the world. The world, think about it. Hasn't the world since the fall of man always known some form of tribulation? Hasn't the world always known some form of sorrow and grief? But during these 7 years that are yet to come, the tribulation upon the world will be so overwhelmingly horrific that Jesus himself said that if that time had not been shortened by God, not one in the world, 8-some billion people, would be left alive. It's that horrific. It will be a time in which God's wrath will be poured out upon mankind in means of natural and supernatural calamities and human and demonic activity. We will see this in the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, and all the players during that time. In contrast to the 1,000 years that will follow this 7-year tribulation in which Satan is going to be bound, here in this 7-year period of tribulation, Satan is going to roam and rage through the world as he never has before. And he will use a man that Revelation calls a beast, who will be called the Antichrist, and his prophet, who is also called a beast. Is he alive today? So now you see why I said the final destruction of the world can't happen for at least 1,007 years. You have 7 years of tribulation, and you have 1,000-year millennium before that takes place. You see, we are going to take time to cover the Antichrist, to cover the beast, to cover the millennium and the tribulation in the weeks to come. However, there is yet another event that is even going to take place before the 7-year tribulation upon the world, which we also will cover in great detail. But today, only cover it to place it in the big picture. And that is the removal of the church out of the world. Yay! Yay. I guess that's kind of a good thing. You know, the Bible clearly teaches that God is going to miraculously remove his church from the world and take them to heaven. This is called the rapture. Rapture means snatch away. They're going to be snatched away. You see, here's what we must know. Every single person, theologian, scholar, that takes the Bible literally and seriously all agree on a rapture. They all agree that the Bible teaches a rapture. The disagreement is, when will this rapture take place in relation to this tribulation that's to come? Will the church go into part of the tribulation to come? Will it go through the whole tribulation to come? Will it go through three quarters of the tribulation to the great tribulation? I mean, is it going to be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? I believe the Bible is clear that God will rapture, that He will remove, that He will take His people, that He will take His church out of this world before the tribulation begins. Thus, we hold to pre-tribulation rapture view, and we believe this could occur at any time. Even before I finish my next sentence, it could happen. We're going to deal with this more fully in our series. I'm going to want to take you through a two-week series, mini-series within this series on the rapture alone. Why do we believe this? You think that's important? Yes. We have come a long way since the creation of the world. The Bible says that with the coming of Jesus, that we are in the last days. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. You see, already, God has already called out the nation of Israel, through whom would come the law, and through whom would come the Messiah of the world. That Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who's been long prophesied, has come and has gone to the cross of Calvary to pay for our sin, to pay for the sins of the world, and He has risen from the dead, and He is alive and sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He is coming back. And we have seen that the church has been established now at Pentecost, and all the believers have been told now to look for our Lord's coming again. So from the events of creation to the time of Christ, the Bible tells us we are in the last days. We could even be in the last of the last days. I want to be very clear with you about something before we get into the whole rapture, which is 10 to 12 weeks into this series. Let me be very clear. Every single sign and prophecy that we are going to discuss in this series is always leading to the events called the Day of the Lord, with the beginning of the tribulation, followed by the millennium, followed by the destruction of all creation and the new heaven and new earth. Never, ever does the Bible give signs leading up to the rapture. We will show that the snatching away of the church, that the rapture is imminent, and no sign or warning ever prefaces it. The rapture can happen at any time. At any time. So as we speak here today, it could happen at this very moment. So right now, at this very moment, we, the church, must know something. There are only, my friends, only since creation, there are now only four events left on God's agenda for the world. Those four events are in this order: the removal of the church out of the world. There's nothing left. The seven-year tribulation upon the world. The 1,000 years of celebration in the world, the millennium. And the final destruction of the world. They are the only four events left. And then everything else is going to fit somewhere in there as we look further in this series. Is there anything after all of that? Yes. Yes. There will be the new heaven and the new earth that all God's people will dwell in throughout eternity. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. That's after that final destruction. You and me will be there. Amen. And all these things could start at any moment. Yet I want you to know today as we go through this, our future is guaranteed with the Lord. Amen. If He is your Lord and Savior, if He is not your Lord and Savior, you are in imminent danger. Today, we talked about the big picture. Starting next week, we're going to land in the text, and we're going to take our time. I want you to know why we believe what we believe and why you believe. Well, so what, Pastor? So what if this doesn't apply to me? Oh, we're going to see that it does. But listen, let's do something right now. Let's do a few things right now in light of all of this. First, I want to encourage you, let's trust Him. We live in a culture and a day that seems very scary. You can trust Him. Shouldn't these things, knowing that we are in God's hands, give us peace? Shouldn't it give us hope? Shouldn't it build our confidence in our Lord in the right now moment? You see, we must not forget that God has a plan for this world, though it may be seeming to unravel all around us. Remember, it doesn't scare me. It's temporary. God is in control, and in the end, all is going to be made well. All is going to be perfect. You see, we read in our verses this morning, if you've been justified in the faith, you are the Lord's. You're justified. You will be glorified. God is in control, and in the end, all is going to be well. The world is going to get more and more chaotic until then. Though it may at times for us seem like evil is winning out, that sin is triumphing, that the truth is perishing and all but forgotten, and that the devil is conquering, we know that is not the case. Our God is in control. Don't you think, my friends, that God, the God who so loved you, who so controls the world according to His plan and His purpose, the creator of the entire universe, also has a perfect plan and a perfect purpose for your life? Can't you trust Him in that? The very God who can create the moon and hang it on nothing, and the stars, and recreate a new heaven and a new earth out of nothing, is also the one who knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. He is also the one who now it's much easier for Him to know how many hairs are on my head. As if anything's hard for God. He knows everything about you. Don't you think the very God who can create this, do this, has the power whenever He wants to do this, can also do mighty, wondrous things for you in your life? Amen. You see, our God is the only God. Our God, we must never forget, is the God of the impossible. He is your God, He's my God, and He can do anything. We have nothing to fear. Let's trust Him in everything. Do you think that anything is impossible for Him concerning your trials and your tribulations? Especially as Jesus told us that we are with Him even to the end of the age. In every situation, stay true. In every situation, don't despair. Trust the Lord. He has it just where He wants. Next, this isn't going to be too unusual for you. Let's obey him. Listen to some of these verses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you have him coming back. Okay, you say, Pastor, that's not deep theology, but it's deeply transforming. Amen. It may not be that deep when it comes to a theological approach, but it will deeply transform your life, and it will be deep diving living in Christ. Showers of blessing await those who love the Lord and love his appearing enough to obey him from the heart. We're going to see in this series, do I love the appearing of the Lord? Is it even on my mind? Take each moment to be obedient to the Lord and think that may be the moment he returns for me. And next, as we close, let's be holy. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, that's the earth, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Why? Because you're looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Are you looking for it? Let's be separated from all that defiles God and defiles us and displeases him, displeases our Lord. But let's also consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. Let's be set apart and be the light that God would have us be while we're in the world, no longer of it. Amen? While we live boldly for him so that when he comes, we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant, Matthew 25. And, hey, let's eagerly look for him. Eagerly. Okay? Eagerly, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 3:20. Man, if we could become more eternally minded, we'd eagerly be looking for the Lord, for that's where our true citizenship is. Let's remember, this is now home. This is temporary. As wonderful as things may be for us in this life at times, and as wonderful it is to enjoy the gifts and pleasures that God's given us, especially his creation, this is not our home. We're just passing through, and one day this shall all be gone. The best is yet to come. Everything is going to be gone. The Apostle Paul said, use the world, but don't make full use of it. For the form of this world is passing away, 1 Corinthians 7:31. You know, I read that in a cemetery in England, there was a tombstone that says this. She died for want of things. She died for want of things. And alongside of it, this tombstone of her husband said, he died trying to give them to her. I don't think that's probably true. But it does typify a lot of lifestyles. Man, we got to live light. Get the light life. Let's live light. Use the world. Enjoy the world. But don't be attached to it. And don't love it. And don't be attached to the things that you have, for the world is passing away. We want to live in light of eternity, looking eagerly for the return of Jesus. You see, the very last words of our Lord to us are, yes, I am coming quickly. Revelation 22:10, to which all who love his appearing say, amen, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So can we trust him? Can we? Can we obey him, looking eagerly for his return? Can we Live and let the Holy Spirit reign in us to live godly, holy lives to make impact in the world. We can. I look forward as we go into this study and we get into the ins and outs of this, that it's going to richly bless us as a body of Christ. It's going to add and grow our purpose and knowledge. It may remind many of you of things, and many may learn new things, but it's all for God's glory, because we here, and many brothers and sisters out there, we are the church, and the church, you, the people, have a limited amount of time that God has given us to do His work. Because I know this, soon and very soon, I'm going to see the King. How about you? Amen. So, trust Him. Everybody say, I can trust Him. Yeah. So we're going to sing a song today that I want to play through the speakers. Kayla's going to help us sing it. And you all know it. It's just done a little different way. But there's going to be a part where we just praise God, where we're just going to sing to Him, where we're not going to be fearful about these things, because I can trust in the Lord. He has redeemed me. He has purchased me. I'm His child. And I can place all my trust there in Jesus Christ, right? Amen. So let's stand and sing this.